Good morning and welcome to this Sunday, April 19th, 2020. The month of April is already almost gone. That is crazy. We've lost March and April, so hopefully we don't lose May too, especially as it starts warming up. It's here in Prattville, it's rainy. If you were part of the earlier pregame show, I talked about how it's rainy here in Prattville. And so we are glad to be here, though, glad to be able to live stream, to share God's word with you, over whether you're here or over the internet, wherever you're tuning in from. And today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read through verses 19 through 30. This is a good passage, I thought, for the day, and so this is where we're going to be. So as we get started, I start with the question, who are your heroes? Maybe you could comment your heroes down below. Unfortunately, I can't read them right now. I didn't bring my laptop up here, but comment maybe who your heroes are. You know, for some, it might be a sports star. It might be someone who can throw a football very well or catch a football very well. It might be someone who can swing a bat or throw a pitch 100 miles per hour. Maybe it's someone who can shoot a basketball or fly through the air like Michael Jordan. Maybe for others, it's a comic book or a fictional character. Maybe if you know anything about heroes, Spider-Man and Batman would be your hero. Those are good choices. Maybe for some, if you like overpowered heroes, maybe Superman. Or maybe you're not into superheroes, but maybe G.I. Joe was your hero growing up, the real American hero. G.I. Joe. I'm actually wearing G.I. Joe socks today. I thought about showing you guys, but I don't know if I should do that. But I wore those in honor of this message. Maybe it's not a sports star. It's not a fictional character. Maybe your hero growing up or even now is an actor or actress. Maybe it's someone who does very well in acting, and they've done well for themselves, and they've shared that wealth that they've gained through that with other people. Or maybe it's a parent or a pastor. Maybe it's someone who has done a lot for you in your life. You know, a hero is someone that we look up to or aspire to be like. Usually they're stronger than we are, they're more experienced, and they have traits that we personally admire, things that we can look up to them for. You know, rightly so, I think, especially in this time that we're living in with the coronavirus and everything that's going on, I think we rightly call our healthcare providers heroes, the doctors, the nurses, the EMT, firefighters, police, military. I think we rightly call them heroes because they're on the front lines, whether it be in the hospitals, helping people in the midst of a pandemic, or firefighters that will run into a fire to save a life, or the police officers that day after day put their lives on the line, or the military, our soldiers who fight for our freedom. And I think we rightly call them heroes. No matter who your hero is or was, I ask you another question. Who's your spiritual hero? Do you have a hero that you look up to in the faith? Someone that is further along than you in their walk with the Lord? You know, Philippians 2, verse 19, which is kind of our key text today, says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Actually, that's verse 29. That's a typo on my part. Philippians 2:29. That's why I couldn't find it in my Bible. "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Here Paul's writing about a few men that we'll talk about here in just a moment. And he says, "Hold such, these men, in reputation." That word reputation is the Greek word entimos, and it literally means honored, esteemed, or held in high regard. In the classical Greek, this word was used of military and political people who had done great feats for their nation, for maybe their political state. And they were held in high regard. They were esteemed and honored. The only other place I've seen this in the New Testament is in 2 Peter, where it talks about the Lord being held in honor and high regard. So this word, this holds such in reputation, it's a great honor to have this bestowed upon oneself. Because in the New Testament, it's used of these men and it's used of the Lord. And so these men were worthy of honor and to be held in a high regard. You know, so often in our culture, I think we fall into the habit of having heroes such as Kobe Bryant or some actor who has done all these films, and we get to the point maybe where even they can become an idol in our lives, where we are so enamored by what they can do that they almost become an idol. But when it comes to spiritual heroes, I think we're more careful. We don't want to have a spiritual hero. We're afraid of putting them in a place where if something happens and they fail, or then we lose our faith. We see that so often. I think we're afraid to have a spiritual hero. We're afraid that they will turn them into idols, but we're less aware of the idols of the other heroes in our lives. That we put these other people up, but we're afraid to put someone spiritual, someone who we can look up to in the faith, up. But here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says to hold them in this reputation. Put them in a place of honor in your life. Put them as an example in your life. You see, the difference in putting someone in a place of honor and them becoming an idol, a good test for that is if our spiritual lives and growth depends on that person that is in that place of honor, then we've given them the place of God. They've become an idol. But we can honor and look up to someone and have a spiritual hero without them becoming an idol. But we're more careful to do that with spiritual heroes than we are with just normal, any regular hero such as sports stars and whatnot. Because we've seen it firsthand what happens when we put someone who is in a place of leadership or a spiritual place where we want to be and they fail. We've seen it. I've saw it firsthand with friends and people I knew that they had this person in such high regard that it almost became idolatry if it wasn't. And when that person failed, many people turned away from their faith. That's not what we're talking about here today. We're not talking about idolizing someone. We're talking about holding them in honor, in high regard, as an example to us, someone that we want to be like in our faith. And so that's what we're talking about. And here in this passage, Paul is specifically talking about two men, and the Holy Spirit includes a third man in this that I don't think Paul initially meant to include, but God did. You see, the heroes we're going to read about today, the first one, his name literally means little. He had bad eyesight. He had to have other people write his letters for him. And he wasn't a great speaker. I mean, he was such a boring speaker that he put someone to sleep and they fell out of a window and died. That's not a very good speaker. You don't want to put people to sleep while you're speaking. But yet he's a hero. The second man is young and timid. He had health issues to the point where Paul said, take medicine for your health issues. He wasn't like Titus. He couldn't handle conflict well. That's why Paul didn't send him to Crete. But the second young man, we wouldn't look at him and say, what a hero, with his timidity and his health issues. And the third man, he didn't succeed in his mission. His mission was, by our take on it, a failure. He didn't succeed in it. He got sick and almost died and got sent back home to where he came from. You see, these three men, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, they weren't superstars. They weren't great by earthly standards. Yet here, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to say, hold such in reputation. Hold these men in a place of being a spiritual hero. You see, we as humans look for superstars. We look for the best of the best. But God doesn't look for the best of the best. God looks for servants. God looks for people who are willing to serve him, to serve others, rather than serve themselves. And so here we're going to look at three different types of spiritual heroes, three examples in this passage of spiritual heroes. So the first Well, the three of them are the young, the experienced, and the companion, or Yech for short. Sounds Hebrewish, so I decided Yech for short. The young. We read about the young in verse 19 through 22. The Bible records for us, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." You see, what makes Timothy a hero? Timothy was one of these men who's talked about, and because he was talked about because he was a trustworthy man. Paul could trust him. You see, here in verse 19, Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you." He knew he could trust Timothy enough to send him to do this work. Why? Because he has relied on Timothy before, and Timothy was trustworthy. But also, Paul says, "That I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state." He knew that Timothy would tell him exactly what was going on. Timothy wouldn't lie to make Paul feel good. He wouldn't lie to make the church look good. Paul knew he could trust Timothy to tell the truth about what was going on. And that would comfort Paul because Timothy was trustworthy and could be trusted with such a responsibility. Timothy was trustworthy, but he also loved people. Another attribute of Timothy that made him a hero, a spiritual hero, is that he loved people. Verse 20 says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." You see, Timothy loved people. Interestingly, that word care in verse 20 is the same word in Philippians 4, verse 13, not 13, 6. Chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That's the same word. Timothy here had a godly anxiety, a godly care for this church. He loved these people. The same, not the same. In chapter 4, the care is anxiety, but here it's a godly anxiety. It's an anxiety that Timothy had for these people's well-being. You see, it's interesting if you read the first four verses of this chapter, which we'll look at here, the same thing that Paul writes to this church and tells them to be, he's showing these men are an example of that. And oftentimes as you read Paul's writing, he was a great writer. Maybe he wasn't a great speaker, but he was a great writer. He would explain something. He would tell you to be or do something, and then he would give an example of that in action. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ..." Here Paul is using an argument, a type of argument where he's assuming this is true for the sake of argument. Because he knows it's true. The church should know it's true. And so here he says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, there is. If any comfort of love, there is. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies," we know that there are, "then fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." You see, verse 2 here, it talks about being like-minded. And then in verse 19 or verse 20, he says that he has no man like-minded except for Timothy. You see, Timothy cared. Timothy had that heart for the people like Paul did. Paul loved this church. Paul helped start this church. And Timothy had the same care, the same love that Paul did. Verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You see, Timothy was trustworthy, Timothy loved people, but he was also sincere and selfless. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." Again, this is a parallel to what Paul just wrote to this church to be. Timothy's an example of that. "Look not every man on his own things." And then he talks about Timothy, "For all seek their own, but every man also on the things of others." As we are seeking the things that are Jesus Christ, we will naturally seek to help others in the things that they're going through. will look also on the things of others. You see, Timothy was sincere and selfless. He was genuine. You know, so often it's easy to act as if we care, but it's a lot harder to genuinely care. It's easy for us to say, I'm praying for you. But oftentimes the follow-through is a lot more difficult to actually remember to be in prayer about that. But Timothy was a man who genuinely cared, who genuinely loved. You see, that earlier on in the book, in Philippians 1, verse 14, Paul writes about some people that were not necessarily as sincere. He says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. You see, Paul uses Timothy in contrast to these people who were not sincerely trying to help. Yes, the gospel was being preached, but Paul says some of them were doing it out of strife and envy to try and add more hurts to my bonds and the things that I'm going through, to add contention there. And the same is true today. Oftentimes, we look at people in spiritual ways and we don't always know their hearts. Not all people have the care that Timothy had, that genuine care for people. But Timothy was sincere and selfless, but he also had tested character. Verse 22, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. You see, this church, they had proof. They had seen Timothy serving along with Paul. They had seen his heart. They had seen his servant attitude. And they knew that Timothy had tested character. The things that Paul had given him to do there, he had done. He served with Paul in the gospel. You see, later on in 1 Timothy, Paul will write that you should lay hands on no man suddenly. That a church should not take someone and because they sound and look good and just right away throw them into a place of leadership. No, they should be tested. Their character should be tested. Their doctrine should be tested. Timothy was tested. That's another reason Paul could trust him. You see, one type of spiritual hero we can have in our life is typified by this young man. Someone who's trustworthy, who loves people, who's sincere and selfless and has tested character. This is just one of the examples that Paul gives of a spiritual hero, of someone who should be held in high regard and reputation. So we have the young, but we also have the experienced. The experienced. And this one, honestly, I don't believe Paul intended to add himself to this list. But so often our intentions are superseded by God's. It was God's intention for him to be included in this list, to be held in reputation. And so he was. Verse 23 records, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. You see, Paul is an example of a spiritual hero because he was a surrendered servant. Paul had surrendered himself fully to serving the Lord. Paul had surrendered his comfort. Think of that. He was going to send Timothy, who was a great encouragement to him, a help to him. Paul was going to send him to this church. Paul was willing to give up comfort in order to further the gospel, to further the mission. And that's an example that we ought to follow. That's an example of a person that we should look for to be an example for our lives. That they're a surrendered servant. But he was also surrendered to God's will. He says, I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. See, he trusted that God knew best. He trusted in the Lord, he says. He's not trusting that he shall come soon. He's trusting in the Lord, and trusting in the Lord that the Lord will allow him to come soon. You see, Paul was fully given to God's plan and God's will. Paul was willing to go to Rome, possibly face death. He was fully committed, fully surrendered to what God had for him. Surrendered to the point where he took beatings. He was stoned where they almost thought he was dead. He went through shipwrecks. He was fully committed. And that is a person, a fully surrendered person. That's the type of person that we should look to as a hero. Someone who has experience in the faith, who's seen and gone through many things for their faith. But he was also confident in God's will. Verse 19, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." You see, he was confident in God's will. He trusted that God's will was best. That if he gave up Timothy to go to Philippi, that was what God had for him to do. That no matter what God asked him to do, he would do it. We think of men in history that have done just that. I think of, this just came to me, but William starts with a B. His parents owned a great estate, a great, I think it was milk and cheese factory. Borden. William Borden. This young man was so confident in God's will for his life that he gave up the fortune, he gave up the business, the company, to go to Bible college to be a missionary. And you know, he died before he ever got to the mission field, and many people thought that was a waste of a life. He could have been here, he could have been a great leader of this factory, of this business, but yet he threw his life away. But you know, when they found his Bible, he had written three things in his Bible. He wrote, "No reserve, no retreats, and no regrets." Why? Because he was a man with an example of being confident in God's will. And you know, he may never have gotten to the mission field and seen a great work come about. But many people, because of his testimony, have gone and have become missionaries and have followed God's will over their own. And sometimes God simply has us for examples. Like he is, a spiritual hero, someone who had so much yet gave it up, surrendered it to follow God's will. We often think about Paul as well. Paul gave up much to follow God. Paul was a leader. He was set to become a great leader, yet he gave that up so that he could follow God, that he could follow Jesus Christ and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, he is the experienced. He's the example of the experienced hero. The person we can look up to who has been through things that we might face. He's the in the yech. We have the young, we have the experienced, and the last example here in this passage is the companion. The companion we read about in verse 25. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." You see, Epaphroditus is an example of a spiritual hero because he was a sacrificial servant. You know, we don't know much about Epaphroditus except for what is here, but it's possible Epaphroditus was a leader in the church. He could have been an elder or a deacon. But it's also just as possible that he was just a normal person who worked a job, who had a family. Yet he sacrificed of himself, of his time, of his money, to make this trip to be a servant to Paul and a servant of the church of Philippi. You see, Paul writes that he ministered to my wants. Epaphroditus was willing to sacrifice to be a servant. You know, we look at heroes and what many would call heroes, and again, we look for things that are great. But you know, Jesus Christ himself said that it's not the great things that make you a leader. That's what the Gentiles look for. He said, no, it's being a servant. That's what makes you great. Serving others, being willing to give of yourself to help someone else, that is what makes a person great. That is what makes someone a hero, a spiritual hero. He was a sacrificial servant, but he had a concern for the church, the people of the church. Verse 26 says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. You know, most people, when they're sick, take me for example, when I get a man cold, I don't really care about what other people feel. All I care about is how I feel, how bad I hurt or I'm coughing. And you can ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. I'm a wimp when it comes to a man cold. But Epaphroditus was to the point of death. And he loved these people and cared for them so much. And he couldn't see them. He was in Rome. He made the trip to Rome. They were in Philippi. And he knew how worried they were. He knew how upset they were that he was, the Bible says, he was full of heaviness because this church had heard he was sick. The church was concerned for him. They were praying for him. And yet, he was more concerned with the church than with his own pain. You know, he was probably on the mend, but I guarantee after being sick to the point of death, he probably still didn't feel very well. But yet he was concerned about this church. He was concerned about the people and how they felt, how they were hurting. And you know, spiritual heroes have a concern for people. I remember this was a while back now because we were still in Pensacola, but I remember Pastor Ken talking about the one more principle and how one more thing, that's it, the one more thing principle. How they came down to Pensacola to visit the college students and then to go and see Rob and Miranda. And they had visited them in the hospital, and then they were tired, they were worn out. But yet, when they got the call later in the night that Rob needed to get to the hospital because something was happening, what did they do? They went, regardless of how they were tired, I'm sure he was hurting, they went and they stayed with the kids, that one more thing principle. And it's a perfect example of Epaphroditus here who was sick, yet he was more concerned about that church. That he was more concerned about those people than how he felt. And that just came to mind. But it's a great example of the type of person Epaphroditus was. But he also was willing to die to further the gospel. We see that in verse 27 and 30. For indeed he was sick. He was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. You see, Paul was sending him back. And the church at Philippi, the reason Paul wrote this, I believe, is because the church at Philippi would look at this and say, we've sent you Epaphroditus to help you, to minister to you, to serve you, and you're sending him back. What's wrong with him? Why are you sending him back? We sent him there to help you, and now you're sending him back to us. And Paul's writing and saying, no, this is a man who is willing to die for the gospel, die for the furtherance of the gospel. This is someone who should be held in regard, in reputation, in high regard. Because he's willing to even die for the work. You see, it wasn't that Paul wanted to send him back, but Paul knew that sending him back was the best option so that the church would know he was all right, so that he could minister to the church and comfort the church that he was okay. But this man was willing to die to further the gospel. Like so many in the church in this time and later on as the church was persecuted, many people that died to further the gospel. And they're spiritual heroes. Someone who's willing to give up their life for Jesus Christ. These are three examples of spiritual heroes. The young, the experienced, and the companion. And you know, more than just being heroes, I think that each of us in our Christian lives, in our walk with the Lord, we need three things in our Christian life. We need a Timothy. We need someone that we are mentoring, that we're pouring into. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We should be pouring into someone else, teaching someone else. Like Paul, we need to have a Timothy, someone that we're pouring into. But we also need in our own lives, we need a Paul. We need someone that we are learning from. Someone that we can, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We need someone who we can follow them, we can follow their example as they're following Christ, who will lead us to what's right. And we also need an Epaphroditus. We need someone that is at the same place spiritually as us. Like Paul said, it's interesting, if you look at Timothy, earlier in the passage, he talks about Timothy as a son. But Epaphroditus, he says, no, he's a brother. He's on an even playing field. Timothy was a son to Paul in the faith. And yes, they're brothers in Christ, but he was someone he was teaching. But Epaphroditus was the same field of play in his walk with the Lord. He was in a similar place as Paul. He was a brother, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier. And we need those types of people as well. We need Epaphroditus who can come alongside us and iron sharpeneth iron, as Proverbs 27:17 says. Someone who can walk along with us. Someone we're following, but then someone also we can walk along with in our faith. But another thing that as parents, grandparents, maybe teachers, aunts, uncles, we need to think about is, especially with heroes, which is the main point of this whole Bible study, is that you get what you honor. You know, so many parents are so overcome with sports. I know parents that love basketball so much that their sons want to be the greatest basketball players. I know there's people who honor an actor, an actress. They have all their movies, their DVD sets, everything they've ever put out, and they put that person as a hero to them. But you know, you get what you honor. If you honor something like a superstar, a basketball superstar, baseball, football, chances are your kids might try to live up to that. Or some actor or actress, your kids might want to live up to that. But I don't see nearly as many parents honoring missionaries, people who are further along in the faith. We don't see people with posters of missionaries in their bedrooms, in their dens, in their living rooms. We don't see people honoring missionaries and people like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus like we do sports heroes and all these other heroes. We don't have all the missionary biographies and great biographies from people in the past, but we have every DVD set of this person, everything they've ever acted in or even made an appearance in. And it's convicting. Because if it's true that we get what we honor, then are we showing our kids that we should hold in high regard these people who have lived for the Lord, who have given their lives for the Lord? Or are we simply showing them that we should live for what we want, live for what we enjoy, what we want to do? We get what we honor. You see, these three men were spiritual leaders, were spiritual heroes. I leave you with the question, who is your spiritual hero? Maybe it's a parent. who led you to the Lord, who loved the Lord. Maybe it's a pastor or a Bible study leader, a growth group leader, someone who you look up to and you say, where they are in their faith, that's where I want to be. They've been through struggles. They've been through hardships. And yet, they're a stronger person because of it. Who are your spiritual heroes? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this passage. And Lord, how applicable it is to our lives, as so often we honor those with that have starred in movies with awards and by buying their CDs and buying their DVDs and buying all these things, and yet we don't ever appreciate and honor those that have done so much for you. Lord, I pray that we would be the types of people that could be heroes for our kids, for our grandkids, for our nieces, nephews, students, but also that we would look to people as examples for our lives. People who have been where we are, people who have made it through as servants of you, that are following you. Lord, not that they would become idols, that's not the point. We don't want them to become idols, but Lord, that we would have people that we can look up to, who we can be encouraged by the fact that they have seen what we've seen and they're closer to you because of it. Lord, I pray that everyone that has heard this would be challenged, would be strengthened. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help each of us. Lord, we pray that soon we would be able to meet all back together here in this building and together. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless us, keep us safe, keep us healthy. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back Wednesday with a pastor's round table and then the message, the Bible study to follow. So we'll see you then. Hey, Oscar.